You're listening to The Beige Philip Show with Dante Nero on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
What's up, Square Pimp Brigade? On this episode, we have the one and only Combat Jack, Reggie Osei. We talk about another knockout story. Got another one, and you asked for it. You got it.
Bang, bang.
We talk about pimping stories. We make sure that a woman appreciates you. How she can't love you if you can't handle her. So that puts the Von DiCarlo shit in the toilet. Also, we talk about how to be dope and do dope shit. Be on this party train. It's pulling out of the station. We had a ball, man. I didn't realize how much I knew. Me and Reggie rolled in the same circles. It's crazy.
Oh, man. Yeah, so, it was a fun one.
Yeah, we had a ball.
Rate and review us on iTunes, please.
Yeah.
Like, that helps out the rhythm of the show, the algorithm. You know, we people find out about us more, follow us on Facebook, all that good stuff.
Also, if you want a one-on-one phone consultation, hit me on savemedante@gmail.com. We had fun with this one. Let's get into it. Yep. Peace.
You are now tuned in to Beige
Bella.
Importantly, bitches ain't shit.
Mandingo.
I've been reading bitches my whole life. That's my job. That's why I fuck.
If you haven't problems, this shit is real. Y'all think Nero knows what the fuck he is doing?
There's no real girl code. It's what I call bitch politics. You know what women want most of all?
More.
More. Exactly. Yeah. Whatever it is they want.
Boys, it's time to join the movement. GYBB. Get your balls back.
They don't understand. I'm giving you the best of me so that I can fuck you. But once that's over, the contract is over.
Right?
Wrong. Everything your mama said, wrong.
Fuck that bitch too.
But this is some stuff I pulled out of the Bible. Now, I don't believe in the Bible. I don't.
And then the Lord said,
Timothy 2:11-15, let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. Shut your mouth. Oh, shit. It's about to go down. GYBB, get your balls back. BABB, be a better bitch. The sexual revolution is being podcasted, and I am excited! It's about to go down. I'm feeling this one, y'all. This one is a special show.
What?
I know I've said it 158 times before, but this one, I really mean it. It's crazy. The guest we got today is nuts. But first, Mara, how are you?
I'm excited.
Are you excited,
really? I am
pretty
pumped, yeah.
Yeah?
We got new toys in the studio.
We got toys.
We got an awesome guest.
Awesome guests.
We ready.
The bar is filled, but nobody's drinking. Y'all are all
Our
tired.
Our live show is tomorrow.
Tomorrow, we ready to rock out.
Rock
with
it.
The cock out, clam bashing.
A cake, and we got cock. We're all out of cake.
And cake and cock, whatever. I just had a birthday. I'm 28 years young. Again.
Plus, yeah, nice.
Give or take a few decades.
My dick still works, though. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
You're only as young as how hard you feel.
That's it. Or how hard you fuck, I would
That's
say.
That's true.
That's what I would say. You hit it right. She'd be like, you act like you're 20. Yeah, bitch. I am 20 today. Harry, how are you?
I am tired.
Yes, you look a little roughed up.
The most of it is coming from trying to keep these gators down.
It is exhausting. It is difficult.
It's exhausting.
People say pimping ain't easy. I say it gets easier with practice.
Absolutely.
That's all. And let me just This is a crazy kind of guest because I originally reached out to this brother because he has such a prominent podcast out there. We do a little cross promotion, and I reached out to Cypher Sound, friend of the show, loves the show. You know, Cypher always calls me up whenever he has bitch problems. Not that he has bitch problems to his wife. But if he has questions,
clean that up.
Hypothetical. So I reached out, he gave me this dude's number, we contacted, and we started talking. He's a Crown Heights, Brooklyn dude. I was like, we're the same age. I was like, there's no way we don't know each other. Just walked in the studio, I'm like, yo, I fucking know you. We start dropping names, talking about the Paradise Garage,
yep.
Oranges with mescaline in it. And
yep. mescaline.
All kinds of shit. But this guy has one of the most prominent hip-hop podcasts right now, doing it way big. lawyer, husband, father, all that good shit. Just spoke at what? Princeton? Harvard?
Howard.
Howard, which is the black Harvard. Yeah. So it's nigga Howard. Give it up for Reggie Osei. Yo, Reggie Osei from the Combat Jack Podcast.
Internets, what's up, guys?
We got you. We
what's
finally.
Up? The Beige Phillips Show is on and popping. Get your balls back, internets.
here's what's crazy about this. Because we were just kicking it and trying to figure out. Because as soon as I look, I was like, dude, I know you. Like, and I don't mean like, I know you. I know you. We've been places together.
70s, 80s, 90s.
Crazy, crazy. And I actually stripped with some of your boys.
Yes.
Some of your boys back in the days.
Pause. I got to say pause for my fan. You know, I say that for my fans.
Yeah, that's true.
Pause.
That's But here, if anybody knows it, if you went to those to the after parties of those shows, none but hoes.
Yes,
just
beautiful. See, now, I never knew nothing about that scene. I knew my crew from Lincoln Place. You know, big up Frank and Glenn Ford.
Yeah.
They were heavy into the body thing.
Yeah,
you know, body
working out, body.
Because we were coming off of the end of the whole Art Schwarzenegger.
Yes,
pumping iron.
Yes,
generation.
All of that whole shit.
And now once they got pumped up. I guess they found some extra money.
We figured we'd make some money stripping and fucking bitches and stripping.
Yeah.
At least they don't have to do night cardio.
Yeah, well, yeah, because, you know, I mean, I used to do 7 shows on a Friday.
Mm. Whoa.
7 20 to half hour minute shows, which is, that's like 7 spin casts.
Different little leather outfits for each
Yeah, what was
one?
Your outfit, man?
I wore,
were you a pirate?
I was Mandingo. Okay. So I wore I was the original Mandingo. There's a lot of niggas out there now claiming that set, but everybody knows the real, you know, your frat brother. He's also a Sigma.
Yes.
Sleaze, big Sleaze knew me. He would be like the real.
So tell me, did you have like a collar on?
I wore, do you remember, I don't even know why I'm asking. Remember Shaka Zulu?
Yes.
Remember when he reclaims his throne?
Feathers?
The feather headdress, the zebra tail, the horse whip, the
coming to America.
The whole, yeah, like that, but way bigger.
Okay.
Crazy, way Water. Bigger, like elaborate. Water. I used to spit fire.
You used to spit fire?
Yeah, I used to
drink. What the fuck
from
kind of place
penis.
Was this?
I actually danced.
From his penis. I hope not. Jesus.
You got to drink it, let it digest, and then you just.
Are you serious?
No,
shit me?
I'm fucking with you. You know what's funny? Sleaze, your frat brother.
Yes.
I was the first black male stripper. Well, the first stripper ever at Tavern on the Green.
Okay.
He used to throw the Sadie Hawkins thing.
Right.
And he hired me to dance at the Sadie Hawkins dance that he would do at Tavern on the Green. Y'all know, Tavern on the Green is closed now.
Yes.
But it was the premier club restaurant in
Beautiful
Prospect
restaurant.
Park.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, the last time I went there was for the christening of one of, for Diddy's first kid.
Wow.
Years ago.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
So it was real fancy and, you know.
And I did it way big. I had a 6-foot cage built.
You were in a fucking cage?
They rolled me out in a cage.
Farrakhan must not fuck with you, B.
You don't fuck with me at all. Rolled me in a cage, but I broke out of the cage and spit fire at the white people.
And attacked all those innocent white women.
And they loved it. Okay. And they loved it.
Savage.
They were wearing pearls, and I gave them pearl necklaces. I was doing it all.
Their wetness kept them safe.
I was just dragging them all.
Well, that's what kept the fire from happening.
The moisture.
All the pussy juice.
All the moisture. Huh?
But... And, you know, it was that Stan used to throw those big parties and shit. Actually, Stan, shout out to Sleaze. Sleaze actually was responsible for the Greek Freak, the original Greek Freak.
Yes.
I don't know, originally that was 30 people on the beach.
Yeah. Now, Stan branded me. I have a Sigma brand.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But me and Stan don't talk anymore.
Really?
We had a falling out.
Yeah, because Stan's an asshole.
Well, Stan has a great way of using that Phi Beta Sigma shield to get that money.
Stan is
And when
a
it's
piece.
Time to pay back, it's like, hey.
Yeah, Stan is, don't get me wrong, his name is Sleaze for a reason. Shout out to Stan. You ain't shit.
Shout out, Stan. You owe me 25 big ones. $25,000. 25 big ones.
Yeah, that sounds like Stan.
Yeah,
that sounds
blue
like
five, motherfucker.
Dante will hold a grudge for what, $9?
Remember that one? I beat a nigga for $9.
$9 can be clutch sometimes.
You know what?
$9 with the yeah, train fare was... right now, Metro card.
You will. Here's
you
here's...
get to the train station and with no $9 that a motherfucker owes you, and you can't get to Manhattan. That's an ass whipping. You gotta pay a dollar for the Metro card.
You know, and you know, it wasn't even so much the. Here's why the $9 story. Here's what the nine story. Dude came to me. I was
thinking about the chicken fingers girl, but yeah.
Yeah, there was one of the chicken fingers girl. So
how many people owe you $9?
There's a lot of niggas owe me. They running.
That's 18, after 36, I, 42.
Here's the problem. Like 45. Once you beat somebody with $9, everybody else from $9 and up, they running. Right. They not trying to fuck with you no more. Right. You can't find them. They're just hiding out. So it's $11, $12, $13. They don't know what they're going to get. So they're gone. So the dude... at the time, my wife was stripping at the Cheetah Club, dropping names on Flatbush Avenue, Farragut. Remember that?
Yeah, the Cheetah Club, yeah.
Yes, so, and that's how I got into pimping.
Okay.
It was the Cheetah Club.
So, did you know the DJ?
Of
Fritz.
Yes.
That's my cousin.
Oh, shit, okay.
See, there you go.
All right, we're going to come...
DJ Fritz.
Yes,
we're going to... DJ Fritzo.
We're going to come... DJ Pleasure is my man.
Okay.
And you're gonna bug because I single-handedly brought Break for Love to the city. That joint.
Break.
Here's why.
For love.
I used to go down the vine. I got it on here.
I got it on the phone too.
Harry's tired because he would usually have it up already. He would already be doing it.
Hey, Harry, did you drop Mesk?
Have I?
No.
No, I haven't. Yeah.
What kind of drugs are you into?
Not a ton. Every once in a while, a little bit of pot, but I don't fuck too hard.
Harry likes
donuts.
Sleep.
Donuts.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, food. Yeah, you know what? I forgot about that one. Yeah, sugar.
Yeah,
that's been my edible. Downfall. Yeah, which is why I've stuck away from the other ones.
Sugar's a hell of a drug.
Oh, yeah. The worst one too. You get everywhere.
So but I used to go down to Vinyl Mania on Carmine Street, yep. And the gay dude there, Robert. He would hold all the tribal cuts, all the tribal hot joints out. And he gave me Break for Love on an import album, a white import album. Yo, you gonna like this. Played it. So at the time, all these DJs is hot now. Flex, Ace the Crowd Motivator, K-Slay.
You could be making these up, and I have no idea.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, this is for me. This is for me.
Daryl the Activator.
Ace the Crowd Motivator.
DJ
Marty
Ron.
The Party Finkowitz.
This is Black Lives Matter right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Black Lives Matter.
Sorry.
Kid Capri. Yeah. Biz Markie. You remember Biz Markie?
Oh, yeah. But Biz Markie was a Kid Capri.
Biz Markie was a DJ before he was an artist.
Yep.
So I used to bring my record and say, yo, play this track, right, on the B-side. They would play it, and they'd be like, yo, Sean, where you got that from, right? And so all the hot house records I broke, French Kiss I broke.
Wait, did you break that before Larry Levan? Because you know Larry Levan.
Yes!
You broke Break for Love before Larry Levan.
Yes, because it was...
We got to call some historians in here. I'm calling shenanigans. No disrespect.
I mean, know, because Larry was...
that's a big
Larry
right
was
there.
The god, but yeah. here's why I had these abstract, obscure records. Cora Cora, No Smoke,
yes.
Beltram, all those joints, Plastic Dream.
Mm-hmm.
I broke those joints. And you know what? Maybe I didn't break it before Larry... But I would say around the same time when he got it,
because not everybody was allowed into the garage,
right?
So you might have broke it outside the
right.
garage.
I would give you
Paradise
that.
Garage.
I would give you that because everybody was listening to Johnny Kemp Just Got Paid,
right?
And I used to layer Johnny Kemp Just Got Paid over Break for Love over the top. So the regular motherfuckers that wasn't house heads, wasn't club heads. Right. They never got, and they got it from me.
I got it. I got it.
And
I got
then
it.
Ace,
I see it.
Capri, all them dudes would steal my record. Like I would be rushing to another gig and not have my record, and they would have my fucking record. And I would just go buy another copy. I bought at least 12
versions.
And so you
go and beat them up for the $9 at the record cost.
I can't
keep track of all the stories.
It was my fault for leaving it. But all right, so
I got a friend of mine. He says always borrow less than $20. Because if you borrow less than $20, a motherfucker really can't be that mad at you when you don't pay him back.
Here's the wrinkle in that theory. Here's the Dante Nero story.
Nah, depends. Here's why. The dude, my girl, later on was my wife. She used to strip at Cheetah Club. She used to do a live sex act with this other chick. I don't remember the chick's name. I think it was Egypt or something like that. And
what was your wife's stage name?
Little Lisa.
Little Lisa.
She was a little petite thing, 90 pounds, but with a popping booty. Mm-hmm. And I just smoking hot, right? And I believe always go for that low outside pitch. Like, if you like them 130, start them out at 90, 95. Then when you win them 10 years, she's 130, boom, you good.
Yep.
If you start out fast and hard in the speed.
You start out with stallions.
You start out with a
gorilla.
The fast pitch down the middle.
Yeah, I see it.
Then you got wild pitches by the time she's 35. Nah,
me and my wife been married for 18 years.
Yeah.
She's after four kids, she's a stallion.
She's a stallion. Now, what if she was slim when she started?
Oh, she was cut up.
Right. And then she probably was working out. Oh my God, I gained weight.
She gained a little bit of weight.
But I'm saying when they gain the weight, they're like, oh my God, I got to get in the gym.
Yeah, yeah.
You get a bad bitch with big titties and big ass, and she like, this how it is, nigga. Bitch is 300 pounds.
That's going to be how it was.
My man got a girl. She was like 145, big ass titties, little what? That bitch's back is bigger than mine now. Mm. Her shoulders.
Mandingo. She's Mandingo.
That bitch is huge. That bitch is like, she can bench 550.
Huge.
She could do 550. Damn. Clean.
And you don't want her to break out of the cage.
No,
that's
you don't.
The thing.
Yeah, lose the cage.
You got to reinforce that.
Here's the $9
ain't
story.
Ain't enough feathers.
Here's the $9 story. So the dude borrowed the money because my girl was doing a lot of sex with that, whatever. We didn't give a fuck back then. And he borrowed the $9, and then I used to see him, and he just never mentioned it again.
Never acknowledged, like...
Yeah, just never...
Did he give you a look, or was it just like, what's up,
first,
nigga?
He was like, yo, I got that for you first couple of times, and then it was just like...
Whatever.
Whatever, fuck this nigga, right? And I was
bitch
like...
Ass. So he put you in the bitch-ass category.
Right, and then he just... And he wasn't, like, flaunting it, but he just was a rat, because we were running in the same circles.
Was he clean? Did he stay clean? Sneakers?
Yeah, he stayed clean. But it was just that... He just never said nothing.
Let me buy you a drink.
Nothing. Just
you
and then
snap
it just then he got
nigga?
To the point where he was like not
you want some chips.
He wasn't even what's up, my nigga. He was just not talking
me
to
some
me.
Shade.
Oh, now you became a fucking.
Now
eyesore.
I'm alienated, right. But it's not.
I don't fuck with you,
right?
Broke ass motherfuckers.
And I just kept seeing this nigga, right. And he would knew like yeah, because I got about 35. Confirmed street knockouts, okay. About 35. So I was knocking niggas out. So he wasn't really playing me, but he was just keeping the distance, mm-hmm. And not
turning his back to you when you walked
just,
in the room.
He don't see me, like, you know. So we're in the Africa House, mm-hmm. Over at the Sears.
Yep.
Right.
Deep Brooklyn,
Bumba Clot Brooklyn.
Bumba. What year was this?
Had to be like 93, 94.
Maxi Pre-San Shaba.
No. And I'm
flex. Time to have sex.
my co-host, no, not what you know. They're just totally lost.
Bye bye in the bottom one.
Typewriter for the roots and culture.
Anyways, let's get back on track.
So you're
in the hood. Like that's the hood.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Like,
you had to go where the money was.
That's like fucking the hood.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah. That was it. Was deep. So I see the dude. Oh, shit. I see the dude, and he sees me. He's with his boys. He's getting his drink on. He's like, yo, motherfucker, what's up, right? So I'm right at the dressing room. I'm in G-string, my gear, barefoot. I used to dance barefoot because I ain't give a fuck. I'm hardcore. I don't give a fuck about broken Heineken bottles. I just walk on them. So the dude goes... And this was like maybe the end of my career. So I put on a few pounds, and he was like, yo, nigga, you getting fat. And I said,
in front of his boy.
So I was like, oh.
For you guys that are not from Brooklyn, that's like when somebody throws you like a subtle diss like that, that's a big
that's
diss.
That's a big diss,
it's
right?
It's intended as a big
you
diss.
You don't have to be from Brooklyn. That's disrespectful just no, but, me I hearing mean, it but, now. Yeah, but at a fucking Waffle House with your friends.
But if you hear it from like a nice Jewish mother, like, hey, you're getting
a few pounds. Oh, that's different. Yeah. But if like an old lady, even in that, if like an old lady came
I punch an old lady right in the fucking mouth.
Yo, fam, what's up?
Yo, I'm knocking fake fronts right out.
You got to learn lessons,
bitch. Gaining some pounds and a thong.
He was like, yo, son, you got to. I was like, ha ha. I shook his hand. I wrapped my arm around, gave him the brother hug, right? And I backed up into the dressing room, pulled him into the dressing room.
Give him a private show.
My man closed the door. I was like, nigga, where the fuck is my $9? Bow! I smash him. He goes down. He's in the corner. I'm stomping him barefoot in the corner. Blah, that's blah, blah, blah.
Your
blah.
Cock just flapping
just
underneath.
Just flapping balls, flapping, stomping him.
Oh, my God.
My boy goes.
That's the worst thing in the world. To be fully clothed and beat down by a naked man. That's the worst. That's the worst shit ever.
Hey, your boy's holding back the door with his
like,
arms.
I can't even throw a punch naked. Like that's like.
But we did it a lot.
Can you imagine fighting? Can you imagine fighting naked?
Oh my God.
I can't imagine fighting. But.
Shit, swinging and you swinging. And
so my man
looking up at taint.
The bouncers at Africa House was. It was gorilla security.
Okay.
Beast and all those big beasts that used to be with White Clef and all.
Whole bunch of motherfuckers that I didn't hang out with.
Right, but 300 pounds, to do this, their security team, you had to be over 300 pounds. They had a dude, Tiny and House uncles used to be 7 foot. The nephew was 7'2", and the uncle was 6'11", 400 pounds.
Mutants.
Yeah, so I'm stomping him in the dressing room. My boy Georgie.
What's his boys doing?
They don't know because I was like, oh, it's love.
Oh,
I pulled him in.
Disappeared him.
And just slid him in the room.
Let me disappear you for a second.
And my man goes against the door, locks the door. The bouncers are like, boom, 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 yo. Oh, Dingo, open the door, open the door. I'm stomping you, motherfucker. I'm going to fucking kick your ass, right? And I go, nigga, where's my $9? And my boy Georgie goes, $9, nigga? You stomping this nigga for $9? Like, you don't understand. It's the principle. Blah, blah. I'm stomping him. Bouncers come in. I was like, yo, this nigga tried to play me. The bouncers pick this nigga up and throw him out. Throw him out of the club. I still got to perform.
Right.
So that's the $9 story. The next morning, we still had answering machines, Reg, back then. Mm-hmm. I get up late.
Radio
sleep.
Shack.
Radio Shack with the tape. Click,
Radio
click,
Shack
click, click,
clutch.
Click, 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 click. When you
we sound so old. No,
I know. I was like, they had them?
I remember answering machines.
You had to fast forward the fucking messages. Son. I get up the next morning, 12 messages, right? Mm. It's all of my boys that I stripped with, Glenn, Mr. Wonderful, all these niggas, Handyman, Reggie the Body,
Handyman.
And Reggie the Bodyguard, Tony, all these niggas call me, yo, I got that $1.50 you lent me. Yo, I remember when you bought me that Coke. I'm dropping off. Niggas is blasting me. All of them just went out like, fuck you, motherfuckers.
Oh, that's funny, man.
Oh, my God. Crazy.
So you came up that week?
Yeah.
You collected?
I got everything. Yeah, everybody paid me back.
That $9 investment. Like, you see how investments do?
It did.
Let your money work for you.
I made $237.16. I made.
God damn.
To everybody was paid off. But it was kind of
Wall Street right here.
But the thing was that just it was the diss. It was just the
it was a principality.
Yeah, like
Smokey.
Come on, why would you think you could just talk to
look
me
at
like
you,
this,
son?
You know I'm not that dude. Stop. Right. So that was
maybe seeing you naked. He probably thought you was that dude.
Yeah, you know, because a lot of niggas thought because you was stripping that you was soft, but it was nothing but thugs and criminals stripping. Because how you got they had the jail muscles. Mm. A lot of niggas that got out of jail. Yo, how can I make money? I got a felony. I can't get a job.
I can't get a job. I can't use my government name.
I'm going to shake my dick for a living. Why not?
That's a crazy fucking... Is there like a documentary on like the urban New York stripping?
There was one dude that did it. he wrote a book. Right. This nigga named Megabody.
You can't write a book about stripping.
Yeah, yeah. It was crazy.
No, you want to fucking see a documentary.
Maybe that's what we need to get together and put this movie
out. I'm not in that. You know,
saying we could.
I'll point you in the right direction.
Pause.
I don't want no dicks around me.
This is why I don't fuck that deep with hip hop, nigga. Because you can't say nothing without a nigga being like, stop.
No, I didn't say stop. I just said pause.
I'm saying.
Pause is different from stop.
Yeah, okay.
Pause is like, slow down. And then you keep going. Right?
Niggas know me, so it's like.
You don't think the pause game is funny?
That niggas have to do that?
Okay, so we had DJ Red Alert on our show last week.
Right.
And our pause deputy, Premium Pete, was absent. He's the one that's in charge of pauses. His lady just gave birth to a beautiful baby boy. So my one of our producers in there, A. King. So Red Alert is talking about some shit he went through. And he's like, yo, sometimes back in the 80s and 90s, you had to suck it up and take it on the chin.
And the nigga said, pause.
No, wait, well, my producer's looking at me like, dude, that's a... So I had to pause.
Right.
I had to.
You had to pause.
I mean, come on. That's hood shit.
But I feel
and there's
you.
Joy in catching people out
now,
there.
Now, here's my thing.
Some people hate the pause game.
Right. Here's why. I never... I was at Bushwick and Gates Masonic Temple.
Yes.
Doing a party for a chick. Mm-hmm. I took the chick on the floor, right? I am... You know, we used to drag the chicks up and then put a head under their skirt, pick them up, toss them around, roll them over, climb.
Manhandle, balls back.
We had a...
Get your balls back.
It might have been...
Greco-Roman style.
I remember there was a chick like 400 pounds and you had the stretch pants. I laid on top of her and then took her pants and climbed in her pants with her. Like, my legs was in her pants.
Damn, there was enough room.
It was... You know them big stretchy pants? I climbed in the real pants
estate,
with her.
New York real estate.
Went in her shirt. We was in the shirt and the pants together. And then we just rolling. But it was, you know, Bushwick and Gates, deep in the hood again.
Deep.
All the Albany projects.
That's like STD territory. Yo, how many STDs did you get, man?
I only got chlamydia twice.
Twice, yeah.
But from the same girl, because I loved her.
Did they have to stick the Q-tip in?
That's how they put the Q-tip in.
Did you hear about that?
Started the fire.
The Q-tip.
Oh, my God.
But his still do that? I don't know.
Yeah, they still stick
the Q-tip in?
That's how you
need
some technological advances, man.
They test it like that.
Oh, my God.
Have you ever had that, man?
No.
I got chlamydia.
It's the most painful thing. The minute that swab goes in your PBO.
I believe you.
It's fire!
I believe you. I got some soap in there. I didn't care
here's
for
how
that.
Much, here's how much I loved her. I got chlamydia from her twice.
Nice.
That's real love.
You're a real romantic.
That's if you really love somebody, you get this STD.
You're
kind of
like a renaissance man.
That's the bomb-ass pussy.
That's why you got to go back. You're like, this could be suspect.
Hey, you know what?
But I'm going back in.
Hey, I've been there.
Oh, but I'm dancing.
Why don't you just give her some antibiotics?
Because you had to make sure you got it. We didn't have no... fucking coverage. If you didn't have it, you don't have to fucking.
You have to go down to
you don't have to buy the drugs.
You didn't go down to fucking the chlamydia house on
Bushwick.
On Flatbush Avenue.
No, because that was too busy. It was too busy.
Yeah, you had to wear Bushwick dark Avenue. Shades and like.
Yeah, I went.
Like, I don't want to newspaper.
Like every dude at Planned Parenthood. Yeah,
I went on. I went on Bushwick. There was a little Spanish doctor on Bushwick Avenue, and he was
private.
Like, had a house.
You were fancy.
Nah, it was $50.
Fancy Negro. Fancy. That shit was free though. The line was around the block.
It was my business.
Right.
I can't be walking around burnt.
Invest in yourself, brother. Invest in yourself.
So I'm dancing in the middle of the floor. I got this girl on the floor.
You're in her
clothes. Dancing. I'm in the club. I'm dancing to Percolator, right?
Of course.
Time for the Percolator. And they couldn't get the guys to go out. So they're in the balcony, and they start chanting, go homo, go homo, go. Go homo, go homo, go. Go, they chant.
So
they hitting me, right? And I stop the music. I go, yo. And they're throwing beer at me.
Not the bottles, just the beer.
Just the spilling 40s, because it was BYOB.
Yeah.
Bring your own bottle.
So these are like, this is the equivalent of getting heckled, essentially.
Yes. Well, if you're a comic, you're getting heckled. They're spilling beer.
So you're at just a regular club, or this is
and
like
I'm
a
there
strip
for
night?
The for the birthday girl.
Oh, okay. So it's not like the event.
It's not a strip.
It's a special
They brought you in
feature
for the birthday.
Of this
Reg will tell you
event.
There was a time where you could not have a party and not have strippers.
Yes.
Right.
And cocaine.
Okay.
And cocaine.
No, I'm just trying
you
to sort out
a male and a female stripper for every
party. I don't advocate
I
drug use now, but in the 80s,
that's what
you would have
if
advocated
you were there,
it.
Please do cocaine in the 80s. Please do it now for the 80s.
Yeah.
So,
but I'm just trying to see those guys. That why those guys would be there. Now I get it. It's just
right. It was a party.
They came to get cake. Their auntie, their cousin.
It's everybody there. Everybody got a table.
Everybody came for the fat girl.
Right.
So it's almost like what do they call them? Jack and Jill parties or whatever the fuck? Like Bachelorette and
It was a birthday party.
It's a birthday party. But it was a hall. Everybody could have a birthday. Like you could have a table. Where your birthday party was there, like 30 people.
I really don't think you're going to find an equivalent.
Yeah,
so now you're getting beer bukkake.
Right. I'm getting, stop the music. Mm-hmm. In fact, Ace was spinning. I go, stop the music. I go, the next motherfucker to throw beer on me, I'm going to come up there and punch him in the motherfucking mouth. And they like, the gay nigga is hard, right? The gay nigga was just, fair enough. So they like, this really? This nigga's coming out? It's like, I said, throw another, put the music on. I start working.
Start going back to business.
Back to business. So I go, I lay this chick
Why
on
Why did they think you were gay? Did you fuck a dude
no,
when you were there?
Just, if you were the stripper.
He's in a thong.
I'm in a thong.
In women's clothes.
I'm in a thong.
He's in a women's clothes with a woman.
I'm in her clothes with her.
Gyrating his hips.
Right? And you can't, in Brooklyn, you can't. You can't dance
so
if you're in Brooklyn. You got to just two-step.
Two-step, yeah.
That's why you used to go to the garage. Yes. So you could get your dance
on. Spin around and twirl.
Well, he did also come out there, you know, with feathers and a cape, like he was Freddie Mercury. You know,
it wasn't for it was. I was a warrior.
No, I got you, but I mean, it's like an elaborate
a gay
stage
one.
Show.
I was
well, a warrior nonetheless.
So the dude,
like Rob Halford from Judas Priest, nobody's like that guy's gay. He was
I
all,
have no idea.
What you remember Rob Halford from Judas Priest?
Do you know the Booty Warrior? Have you ever guys seen that?
I don't know what that is.
It's this dude. I'm sorry to
no go.
It's about Please. This dude in jail. It's on YouTube. It's one of those scared straight documentaries.
Oh, yes.
Oh, this is the guy that talks
yes.
about
and he's
raping
like,
dudes.
There's
and
only
shit.
Two things in here that's valuable. It's water and booty.
It's a
and
big,
booty's
a big
more,
dude. Big boy.
He's not
dude.
Big because he's been in there for years.
Oh, okay.
But a fleece booty warrior Johnson. Look that up.
Okay.
How did you get a video in there?
Huh?
How does he get?
It was, I guess it was a documentary.
It was a scared straight thing.
And he's a straight guy, but he's like, in here, booty's more valuable than water. And if I sees you and I likes you, I'm going to tell you, I likes you.
This is spooky.
Yeah.
This podcast took a weird turn.
Hey, internet's pause. Yeah.
So
do they throw beer or not? Is what I want to know.
No, they don't throw beer.
No more beer.
I laid a girl on the floor. I'm rubbing on the front of pan or crotch, doing my fucking whatever
routine.
Act. Mm-hmm. What I used to do is the back shot flip move I used to do. Don't worry, but we'll put up videos and diagrams. And the dude comes down the stairs and taps me on the shoulder while I'm laying on the floor, I'm crawling to his girl. Yo, motherfucker. I get up. Bang, I hit him.
You hit him first.
Yeah, well, here's why.
Because he's heckling you.
Right. Well, not just that, but I'm in Bushwick, right? I got three mans with me. It's the whole Albany houses is in there, right? It's ugly. So I gotta be the nigga that gets off first, so they go, oh, what?
And if it's a mistake, you know.
Right. Now, his man was sitting on the side. I run over and I hit his man. Bang! I hit his man. So they like, the gay dude is crazy. He's knocking everybody. So they all come running now. You know, the staircase is the double staircase.
Yeah.
They come around and double skate. Me and three of my boys, we meet them, right? It's the fucking
naked Tony Montana.
We run up to the stairs.
Say hello to my little friend.
We meet them at the stairs, and as they're coming down, we're tossing them over.
This is
right?
Like the scene from Kill Bill where she's taking out the crazy 88.
It's like that.
But you're just naked in a thong.
They're not really... they're not really ready to give it out. You know what I'm saying? They're still building.
They're still stunned.
They're still building the
And you're naked.
I'm naked. I'm dropping dudes. But I'm dropping dudes. Bang! Oh, I'm hitting with the hammer. Bang!
You're like, Spartan!
So they're still apprehensive. Ooh. We end up pushing them. Pushing. We all get some of the guys who knew me from the neighborhood came, and they kind of pushed. And they pushed them. I was like, don't push the motherfuckers out. They're pushing them out the door. And I'm like, nigga, don't push them out. And they just keep pushing them. I knew some football players from Madison, and they push the motherfuckers outside.
That's kind of dangerous.
I go, now we can't leave.
Because now everybody's going to their trunks.
Everybody got the toasters in the trunk.
Right.
We can't leave. Call the cops. We can't leave till you call the cops.
A toaster.
A burner.
Burner. Ratchet. Heater, gun. Ratchet.
Oh.
Gat.
We had to go through six. You need work.
You know what I'm talking about, Mark.
You need work. No.
The old Son of Sam.
A lean burrito?
Yeah.
Now they outside in the we had to call the cops.
Yes.
The 7-7 had to come and just and ease disperse, it out. And then we could 4 o'clock in the morning. We're waiting for the 7-7.
Those were some great days, huh?
Oh my God, great. I'm great fucking, times. I would have been dead.
Old New York, right?
Now here's so and from that I got into the stripping, I got into the pimping and stuff, and then
pimping ain't easy, right?
No, not at all. It takes work.
Really? You gotta be a psychologist.
You gotta be a psychologist,
a daddy.
And here you gotta also be
a gorilla.
Willing
pimp.
To lose. You gotta be willing to lose.
Well, those are all relationships. Same thing.
Yeah.
Now, did you gorilla pimp?
No, I was a head pimp. I was a.
What does that mean?
I was in. I talked to bitches. I worked them.
A gorilla psychologist would like
gorilla smack pimp. A bitch around.
It's all about chicken. Smacking.
Get them on drugs.
You know, gorilla pimp.
Right.
Now I know.
You got a lot of homework.
Taking a lot of notes.
You got ratchet. You got toaster.
You got the heat.
The gack.
You got gorilla pimp.
The rings. You got a lot
How
of work.
How do you spell gack exactly?
Gat, G-A-T. Like,
oh, G-A-T. Which is I thought you said gack.
Like Gatling gun.
Oh.
Which, you know.
Is a type
from,
of a?
It's a gun. With that,
Gatling
that,
gun.
That,
like
that,
from
that,
the
but that term came from the West Coast. Let me get my get.
Okay, got it.
My strap.
So
learning so much today, gosh.
So I was a dude who got in a chick's head, and I was, you know, smooth.
You're worthless,
I was
but stripper. I love you.
You listen,
I'm gonna build you.
We gonna make it.
Right,
you somebody.
You and me.
I
you
see
and me
it.
Against the
me
world.
And you. We on this juke joint. Mm-hmm. We on top of the world, baby. Damn. Like all that good shit. And really, what happened was the chicks who were at Cheetah Club at the time when Giuliani passed the RICO law.
Yes.
Was selling pussy, do the lap dance, and they would sell pussy and fuck you in the corner mm-hmm. on a lap dance.
So Chris Rock was wrong.
He was absolutely wrong. But Chris Rock was from Bed-Stuy, but he stayed in the house.
Yeah, he stayed in the house.
Never seen him out. Mm-hmm. Never.
Every time I used to see Chris Rock, because in like what I do miss about old Brooklyn mm-hmm. is like the cats you would see casually. Like I remember being at the DMV.
Yeah.
And I turned around and it was Larry Fishburne, not Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah.
Because Larry Fishburne was far greater. Raider
yeah.
Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah.
And I would see Spike Lee and yeah. But every time I saw Chris Rock, he looked scared, man.
He still looks scared.
He had that scared look on his face.
He still looks scared. But Brooklyn was a scary place, bro.
Yeah, true.
If you wasn't
but
ready.
But you didn't have to look as scared as Chris
yeah,
Rock.
Well,
no shots, Chris.
Shots fired.
Bang, bang.
So, but he only time I really remember Chris out is after he got when he got the red Corvette. Mm. And he was riding around in the red Corvette after he kind of made it. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't out. Like, right. I never seen him out. So,
I used to see Mike Tyson out.
Yes.
Now, Mike, when Mike walked by me, I was scared.
Yeah. I see Mike a lot.
I remember, I'll tell you this story. I was at the Paradise Garage one night.
Your favorite joint.
And I'm starting to trip off the mescaline. And I had this funny looking French hat.
Right,
that fit like it's like a it was I can't
like a like beret, but the,
not, it wasn't a beret. It was more like a fucking like a navy kind of.
No, it's the pointy one. Yeah.
So I'm in there and I'm tripping, and then I start getting paranoid. And there's like I'm in the back of the crowd, and there's like this tiny walkway.
Yeah.
Mm. So I look at the end of the walkway because I'm trying to get to the other end of the walkway. And the more I'm making my way to the other side of the walkway,
it gets
there's more people behind me. So as I'm walking, I'm like, wait a minute. That's Mike Tyson. But this is Mike Tyson 87.
Is when he was just knocking
people. This is Mike
people.
Tyson monster.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm going to walk by my... No. And the more I'm trying to back up, the crowd is pushing me and Mike. And I'm like, the worst thing I wanted to happen was like brush up against Mike Tyson.
And then get knocked.
At the close I'm getting to Mike Tyson, I'm trying to use these amazing drug powers to disappear. So literally when he walks by, I'm like...
If I can't see him, he can't see me.
I can't see him. He can't see me. That was my most frightening experience with Mike Tyson.
All them, you used to see those dudes. All of Brooklyn was live.
Yes.
It was real live.
Yes.
But that whole thing, what they would Rico Lopez, the chicks were fucking
fuck
in the
Giuliani. Yeah, he fucked up. A he lot did of
everything.
Good shit,
fucked
man.
Up everything. That's why we have Disney in 42nd Street instead of
that's why we
Deep
have beer gardens instead of strip clubs.
Ridiculous.
God damn it.
So they used to come in and in the strip clubs and lock, you know, set motherfuckers up and come. Vice used to come in. And so these chicks, I was managing the Cheetah Club at one time. And I was fighting with these chicks not to stop fucking. Stop fucking in the back. And then I was like, these bitches.
If you're going to fuck, I'm going to unionize you.
That's when
we're
going to
organize this pussy.
And it was actually my ex-wife who actually was like, look, this is what we'll do. We'll set it up, blah, 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 blah. And that's how I got in the game.
She's like the office manager.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And
now, how was she when she managed? Like, was she like, did she have the gorilla hand?
I was Prince Mandingo back then, right. So it was like whatever I said.
You had some name value coming.
Yeah, in. I was.
Ooh, you're like a great football player who started coaching. You're like, this guy knows his stuff.
I'm going over to Prince Mandingo, girl.
here's how crazy it was, and
you're taking on new.
You know how Brooklyn is about the pause game.
Yes,
dudes would drive past me in a Jeep with the top down, with gold fronts. Mm-hmm. Strictly gold fronts back then, and go, yo, that's that stripper nigga. Yo, he be with all the bitches. Yo, when you dancing again, nigga? Like, damn. I could get that kind of props,
right.
Where they would ask me, yo, where's the next party? Yo, we gonna come. Mm-hmm. And then nigga was like, yo, what the fuck? What you fucking with? He was like, yo, you don't know. That nigga be with all the bitches, yo.
Yep. That was valuable. That was a cachet.
That was
a hood passport. If you knew, it was just like you mentioned earlier, like Lou Hobbs and Demencio. What I did love about
Lou Hobbs and Demencio, big hustlers.
Yeah,
big
rest in peace, Demencio. These guys were big time drug dealers, fearsome and murderous in the whole
Little
night.
Phil and Octavio.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the thing is, back in the 80s, the drug dealers despised the rappers because the rappers were fake.
Fake.
The rappers were trying to be, you could just click that, sorry. The rappers were trying to be the drug dealers.
Right.
The guys that the drug dealers admired were the college students.
Right.
Because the college students had access to all these good women.
Yeah.
And they had access to all these fresh, fertile
Different
campuses.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I wasn't necessarily a goody two shoes,
right,
but
right.
I wasn't into all that
right.
crazy raggedy shit. You was
get
in
a little dirty.
Pimping and
you get a little
stripping,
dirty.
But you know, we would hang out with these drug dealers, and then the cachet for us was like we would roll up to these clubs and Benzes, and these cats were like, "You guys are connected." it was just a beautiful ecosystem back in the days.
Yeah, it was love, and
so you bring some drug dealers up to Cornell, and you come back to Brooklyn, you were like the fucking man.
And here's how crazy it was. Peter Hsu got locked up, fucking with Madonna, the undercover cop that was fucking with Madonna. Peter Hsu hooked her up with a couple of birds, some keys. And that's how Peter Hsu got locked
that's
up.
That's when Madonna was about that life.
Yeah.
You know, Madonna really had some street cred back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she hooked up. Peter Hsu was the middleman between Big D and Demencio and Lou Hobbs and those dudes. And he got caught up. If you remember, it was an old lady who got him locked up.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Like I said, I was a nerd.
Yeah. Okay.
Hanging around these cats.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, this is the house I grew up in.
Yes,
my father worked for the Parks Department for 33 years. But I was, you know, I had this duality going on.
Okay.
So, But understanding that, and then I
how popular is this mic right here? This mic I'm speaking on.
Why is it?
No, because my lip keeps touching it. It's I get a little OCD.
We usually go blue. We actually just changed those. Yeah. We changed those filters. Right, we just changed those. Right.
I'm just starting out trying to walk out here like.
you'd hate to make it out of the 80s.
He's
not
like, man, I got
chlamydia.
I survived. I got chlamydia on my mustache.
On my lips.
But that was the, you know, getting into the game like that. Then I took a job with the phone company. I started working for the phone company. It was all these blue collar dudes who,
which are even grimier.
Yeah, well, but here's the problem. They dudes would make $100,000, $130,000, and then they're asking for permission with their wife. So I was like, nigga, how you,
what do you mean permission to do what?
Permission to anything. They had to ask for, beg for sex. Beg, you know what I'm saying?
Can I go out, hun?
Yeah, like, can I go out? Right. Because a lot of these dudes, you know, they were the breadwinners, but they had gotten so beat down that they didn't understand that what their value was in the first place. And so I would be advising these dudes, like, son, you, wait a minute, your wife don't even work.
So you became a coach. A life coach.
Right. So I started
to get your balls back, life coach.
That's how the whole thing happened. Mm. And then I met up with Patrice, and he went to Brazil. Yeah. And when he went to Brazil, he had that kind of. And then we did the Black Phillip show, which was on Opie and Anthony. Right. And then this was the. That's how the whole thing came down.
Okay.
So it just. But me having to think about the things, so many things that I do naturally, guys don't do naturally.
Right.
Because of my background. Right. So I knew what my...
So I probably need some coaching because my wife is fearsome.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she's the only motherfucker on the planet that I get a little scared around. Sometimes.
Let's talk. Because here's the thing.
She's a beast, though.
Yeah, but it's...
I'm a beast, but I'm a different beast. She's a beast.
Yeah, but here's what I think happens a lot of times when you get married.
Just smack in the mouth, right?
Nah. But here's what I think changes your perspective. As a husband, yes. And you've been 18 years, so clearly you're a good husband.
Four kids, all the sons just got accepted to NYU.
You're a good father and good husband. But here's what happens. There's so much we do, and I've had this question asked me, how does this pimp shit work when you're in a relationship? Because that shit don't work when you're married. And I go, it absolutely works. Not only psychology. Does it work more so because there's so much... that as a husband, 18 years, that you do without even thinking. It's just the general course of you being a husband and a father and so on and so forth. So, and so much of those things you don't even take into consideration. You don't even think it's a favor.
You don't put a price tag on it.
Right, this is just what I do. I'm a man. I take care of mine. And we take pride in, I take care of mine.
Right.
So one of the things we say, basic fundamental is anything you do for a woman more than three times is no longer a favor, it's an obligation.
Right.
So if you do the laundry three times, now you're supposed to do the laundry.
Yeah, you've submitted.
Right. Now it's not even thank you for doing the laundry. It's like, when's
the next time the laundry's going to be done, motherfucker?
Exactly.
What the fuck?
But here's the thing. There's so much... to that, like, for instance, detailing the car or taking the car for oil changes, so many things that we do. My boy, he's 51 years old, his wife all of a sudden, 15 years married, took her out of Little Dominican Republic, Washington Heights.
He imported her.
Well, no, he took her out of Washington Heights, took her up to upstate, built a house for her. 15 years. I want a divorce.
He upgraded her.
Yeah, I want a divorce.
Can I pause for 1 second? Sure. I have to say goodbye. I have to go to work. Yeah. I love you all.
All right.
Bye.
So, literally did a thing where she asked him for a divorce. He called me and asked me for my advice. I said, give her the divorce. So 2 days later, after her asking for the divorce, he had the lawyers and he delivered the papers to had her served.
She wasn't expecting that.
No, she lost, like, what? He goes, well, this is what you asked for.
Yeah.
Now he says, so now what do I do? I go, well, everything that you used to do as a married man, you don't do it no more. That means, so the next week, the car, she was like, oh, the car's dirty. You didn't get the car clean and it's the oil check light is on. He goes, well, call the service center and take it.
I'm going to give you homie's number.
Right.
Yeah,
so now all those things that we do just out of the norm. You don't do it anymore because you don't want to be the transition guy.
But I'm not trying to get divorced.
No, but but here's what I'm saying. You can't. You should be appreciated for what you do because what she does, she's not going to let you not appreciate it.
Of course. Oh, no.
That's not going to happen. Right, but as a man, we are not appreciated for the things that we do.
That's true.
Because it comes under the guise of
what you're supposed
to do. I'm whole in mind, damn.
Right.
But the minute you don't get that appreciation, you say, wait a minute, hold up. I did the laundry. You can say thank you. And
sound like a bitch right now.
Okay. Now, when she says that, then you don't do the laundry.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So for those reactions, there has to be an action.
So then my kids get ringworm.
No. No, because laundry's going to get done.
Yes.
Because she's a good woman, like you said, so she's not going to let it not happen.
Yeah.
So
she'd be a mad laundry doing motherfucker.
Maybe so. Right. But the reality of it.
There go your clean pillows, motherfucker.
You are Combat Jack.
I'm Combat Jack, motherfucker.
You are Combat Jack.
Yeah.
So let's.
But you know what she did?
What's that?
She became Combat Jill.
Maybe so.
She became Combat Jill.
But she would have never become Combat Jill if you weren't Combat Jack.
Exactly.
There's nobody. When a king is the king, he marries a bum bitch and makes her the queen.
Yes.
There's no such thing as a queendom. There's only kingdoms.
Yes.
So I can marry a bum bitch and make her queen. If a queen marries a bum dude, he don't become the king. He just becomes the bum dude that married the queen.
Yeah.
So let's not get it twisted.
Queen's bitch.
But here's what happens is if you're not letting her know that, and we're not talking about arrogance or being unreasonable.
Just being appreciated.
Being appreciated.
Yeah.
And not taking it for granted, because what women do more than anything
is want more.
They want more. How do you like it? So you have to, in order to have your own happiness, there's no reason why your wife can't beat you. I see you. Your wife can't beat you.
She might could, man. She's brawling. She's doing this whole CrossFit shit now.
She can't
lift in 75.
Let me tell you.
I mean, I'll still put in a headlock, but I might not have that stamina to go to rounds now.
Yeah. But if you put in a headlock, knock over, hit her with an elbow in the back of the neck, you probably not to say that we're advocating that.
No, not at all. And then my son is big now. I was tussling with my 18-year-old,
and I got winded.
I was like, look, daddy's out of breath. So you might, so now I might have to tussle with.
We gotta take you see Moses Powers do.
I gotta start doing some of that.
Hit him in a pressure point
that
right
black
in the neck.
Kung Fu. That black Kung Fu?
Oh, yeah.
Ha-cha-cha.
Yeah. I hit you right in a point in the back of your neck and make your left leg shake. It's understanding what the principles are. And when you are the guy who you laid out there like that, she finds you more attractive.
I was so reckless.
Yeah.
I was so reckless.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Sure.
I was reckless.
Yeah.
But your marriage survived that whole thing? Was she aware?
Well, you know, what's great about my wife is her father was very successful as an independent man in the music industry.
Right.
So he understood my lifestyle.
Right. So she could go to him. And
so when she would go to him like, that's it, fuck him, I'm done. It's like, what the fuck you doing? That's a good man. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so
unlike
most father-in-laws,
right,
he really understood the dynamic. Yeah, yeah. He didn't pick sides or choose sides when most 99% of other fathers would have chose their daughter.
Because he knew the game.
He knew he was a boss.
He was part of the game.
He helped me.
Yeah.
He was a black dude who spoke fluent Yiddish. So it was like, I'm talking about game
on top of game.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So she comes from, I come from royalty. She comes from royalty.
Right.
So what are y'all doing?
But that's also the point, because a dude who had game brought her up so she wasn't reckless.
Yes.
Do you understand? What I'm saying is, overall, that situation is not usually the norm.
Yes.
What's usually...
we have a very unnormal kind of pedigree.
But, I mean, I think to the same token, every woman is a woman. And they do the same things.
Of course.
They all do the same things. I'm constantly, I get confronted by women. You say women are all the same, and they're not. Because they're not. And I go, you know what? You sound like every other woman that told me that they're not the same. So it's what's an interesting concept with all of it is that you're literally in a situation where there's so many dudes who have been under fire
right.
in terms of in terms of their father, their mother beat them down, and they weren't even able to teach their son game.
Yeah.
You know, and then, or much less teach their daughter the game, like when you talk about your wife's father saying, he might have had some pussy, but chill out.
His music.
What do you expect?
Yeah. He's running around with Jay-Z. Yeah.
How can he not get his dick sucked? Listen, yeah. I don't know what's wrong with you. I don't know. You need to calm down. Come on, he's going to get his dick. He don't love her.
You better leave that, man.
So you don't have that. So many dudes were under fire because their mothers were aggressive, and they were just trying to survive. Right. Once they stopped running and they became true blue, like, I'm going to be this nigga, I'm gonna handle mine, then they so busy trying not to have the argument that they became dudes who were just under fire.
Right.
And I'll do anything just to have peace. And you can't always have the peace. No, you got to have the fight.
I'll burn the motherfucker down sometimes.
That's what you got to do.
We'll burn the motherfuckers down.
You got to do that. And what we're talking about is
I'm Haitian, goddamn it. I will burn
my boulet. But it's literally a situation where you have to. She can't love you if you can't handle her.
No, exactly.
If you're a dude who can't handle your chick, no matter how
she's
aggressive, gone,
she's not your chick.
Then it's not your chick.
Yes, sir.
I'll get it. I was talking to I don't know if you know Luther that owns Cafe Shane.
Yes, I do.
Okay,
know
I grew up with Luther.
Okay,
just saw him today over at the Zap Lube.
Okay,
and we were talking about when it was saying how, you know, how often you have to be willing to just go enough.
Right.
Like, now we're not talking enough. I'm not going to just let you do what you want. You're not going to talk to me the way you want. And I'm ready to walk if that's what you have to do.
I think that's what's going on with America right now, too, though. Sure. I mean, you can't talk to us like this anymore.
Right.
You can't.
Right.
It's the same kind of thing.
Can't talk slick like that. And what I find is that when you take the stand, a woman always finds you more attractive because you take the stand.
Of course.
Because she's saying, you can handle me and my bullshit, so you must be the dude. If you can't handle me and my bullshit, how can you keep me safe from everything else that's going on out
exactly.
there?
Exactly.
So there's a line that has to be drawn, and there's principles that you have. A woman wants a guy who's strong so that if she wants to not be the strong woman, she can be because she's got this dude who's the safety net to be there. And what we're talking about is not being an asshole, but we're talking about being reasonable, being just a reasonable dude. But listen, you're talking crazy. Like, you must be out your mind. And having a consequence to that. If I ask a girl out on a date, 10 minutes, she's not ready, I leave. She goes, where you at? I go, I left. I told you 8 o'clock, it's 8:15. Well, how'd you just leave? I go, well, you don't respect my time. Now, if you want, we could try this again next week.
I'll pencil you in.
Right,
I'll schedule it in.
We'll schedule again and see if we can do it
now,
again.
How does this talk work for you, man?
What this all? I mean, I'm learning a lot about it, so I'm not.
You got game right now?
A little bit. Yeah. I'm getting there. Yeah. But the rules have definitely helped me like navigate a lot of bullshit.
You don't do the laundry all the time now, right?
I mean, I'm not in a relationship now, but
that works.
Yeah, I don't have to. That's it. It makes it a lot easier.
Well, he thought I was real harsh.
Okay.
I did.
Yeah. He used to be like, God damn, you keep your foot on
a misogynist.
Yeah, you keep your foot on a bitch.
Until I got done dirty by a couple women. And then I was like, burn the village to the ground, man.
I hate the house.
Yeah, I was grabbing the flamethrower out of his hand and just like.
I was like, Harry, we already burnt.
I hate him. Burn the dirt.
Because if you let this go. You won't have happiness. Yeah, as a man, you won't have happiness.
Have happiness.
And if you don't have happiness, you
might as well cut your nuts off.
Because here's the thing. She doesn't really know what happiness is.
Yeah.
If you put her happiness first, you won't be happy and she won't be happy. Because what is happiness to her changes from moment to moment, from emotion to emotion. And that's what we do. You have to learn how to put yourself first, which is okay for us as a man to put.
You got to put yourself first in any situation.
Sure. And because
man, women, child, everybody has to put themselves first.
Because being a man means to take care of your woman.
Mm-hmm.
It means to take care of your kids.
Mm-hmm.
So by
but
you
women also do that already.
Yeah.
Like, you don't really have to, I don't think, tell a woman that she
but
has
to. But they don't
to.
Put you first
right.
as
right.
the oh, man. No, yeah. But see, it, in the definition of being a credible dude is taking care of your woman and making her happy.
Of course.
in the definition of being a good woman,
taking care of your kids,
is taking care of your kids
and being a bad bitch.
And being a bad bitch, I'm a bad bitch. You know, they dancing and grabbing.
What the fuck is up with that new shit? That I'm a bad bitch.
Oh my god! Like, what is wrong with you?
It's just trying to justify the nonsensical. It's doubling down on like
America's
I can't meet somebody.
Tubes. We're going down the tubes. We're
That's
fucked.
Why we here though. We're That's why Bae Phillip is here.
Yeah,
I'm fixing it.
There you go.
I'm fixing men every day. Yeah. I'm doing
the whole work. I mean, it's the whole, it's appealing to your audience. That's what it's become. It's like, well, how do we get into the pockets of these idiots? And yeah, you just start.
I'm a bad bitch. You got Steve Harvey running around telling bitches how to act. I'm like, any first level Bae Phillip student can sidestep Steve Harvey.
You don't
bullshit.
Need a Steve Harvey suit.
You don't need a suit
to Bae Phillip.
37 buttons. Who needs 37 buttons? Where do you get 37 buttons?
I'm good with 18.
I've been to the fashion district. I've never seen buttons come in 37.
That should come down to your knees.
It still make no fucking sense. Nope. And your mustache is too black. Get the dark brown just for men. Trying to live a lie. You're living a lie, Steve Harvey.
Calling out
First
Steve
you
Harvey.
Had a toupee. Now you got a your mustache is jet black. You ain't jet black. But it's so crazy, and I get so many emails and stuff from dudes who don't get the fundamentals of putting themselves first, who don't get that being a man, you know, they're so busy trying to get the pussy that they are compromising, discounting their manhood for some pussy. Mm.
It's an interesting thing that women always talk about. We want equality. And yet as a man, we tend to, if you don't know what you're doing, give away a lot of shit that you wouldn't tolerate from a man. Right, like, if a man was like late 7 times in a row, at some point you'd go, hey man, we can't. But for whatever reason, guys are.
Game time.
So it goes to that. Like, if you want to.
I would not punch a bitch in the mouth for not paying me $9.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
But I'm a saint.
That's true. You are a gentleman.
I'm getting my wings.
Not an animal, for Christ's sake.
I would not stomp a bitch barefoot.
But we tolerate a lot of shit that we wouldn't tolerate from another guy. Boring conversation, annoying conversation, wasting your time.
Annoying giggles.
Just nonsense.
Going shopping for shit you don't fucking need.
If we hanging out and
I got to go buy some drawers. Come with me, B.
Nah.
Like, let's go to the sock section first.
No.
Let's check out these jeans.
Hold on. Hold my purse.
Yo, hold on.
Hold my book back for me.
Hold my phone.
Hold my Jansport.
Yeah, hold on for a second.
No.
Do it, but.
How this look, man?
How does
tank top look on me, fam? all right.
Pause.
Do I look fat? Do I look fat, my nigga? What?
You're not even looking.
You just yesing me to death.
Get off the phone.
Come on. It's so much horrible. Like, I said this the other night. I was like, man, every time I look at an attractive woman, I always wonder if she's remotely as interesting as she thinks she is. Probably not. Because everybody's lying to her, trying to get in them drawers. And so they're lying, and she has this false sense of security that she's interesting.
You got Instagram right now where everybody's life is fabulous.
Oh, my God. It's
life
crazy.
Is great on Instagram. I want to live in Instagramville.
That with the sign
that city.
Where everybody's dope. Everybody's
maybe
dope.
Maybe it should be required.
We're having lobster for breakfast on a jet ski.
I mean, I know you fuck with the social network, but I find myself being an old dude. I hate doing it.
I hate doing what?
Social networking. Like, I have so much to do. I hate, you know what?
Let me tell you what I'm in the middle of right now. A friend of mine is a parent. She doesn't fuck with the social network at all.
Right.
Her daughter goes to MS 51, middle school 51 in Park Slope.
Okay.
Friday night, a white parent punched her 13-year-old daughter in the mouth.
Wow.
She went to the police station. She went to the school. She went to the chancellor.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's responded.
Right.
Because the white woman said, your daughter's... I bullshit you not. Your daughter's face accidentally hit my fist. That was her alibi.
Wow.
So she's like, Reggie, what do you do? I'm like, social media.
Right.
So now we're up to 25,000, 30,000 retweets and hashtags because I want this woman arrested.
Right.
And it's very effective. If
now,
you,
did
if,
she fuck up her face too, or was
she
it,
had bruises? She could, but right. I'm saying nope. Like the police didn't respond,
really,
and the school didn't respond, and the principal didn't respond. So what do? You make so much noise like on social media,
sure,
that reporters are now calling me. Reporters called me last night. I'm just pointing them to the mothers. That, right. But I love shit like yeah. That's how you use social media.
Right. But here's what I'm saying with that.
That's how I use social media.
But you're utilizing it.
Yes.
In you are not taking a selfie and a picture of your eggs.
Sometimes I might. I'm silly too. Right. I mean, you know, after the good fight. Yeah. I use it for all of that shit. I use it for dumb, selfless, mindless shit. But I also use it to activate change.
Right. And I mean, because look what happened in Egypt. I mean, they literally organized in Egypt, Syria.
Trayvon Martin was all through Twitter.
Yes. It's the whole other game. And I get, but it's the constant selfie of, look at me, lipstick.
But it depends on who you follow too, man. Sometimes you got to get out of the social media hood too. You know what I'm saying? You got to attach yourself around the right amount,
nicer neighborhood.
The right amount of ratchet, the right amount of intellectuals, and the right amount of funny.
Right.
You need funny people on your timeline
just to keep you.
You need funny people on your timeline.
Well, see, I don't have that problem. I'm a stand-up comic, and so this
you can steal hella jokes on Twitter.
Oh, you can't do. Well, Reg, pause. That is a comic.
I'm joking.
Pause.
I'm joking.
But here's
what you can.
But here's what's funny about that, and that's the difference in black comedians. Like guys who we came up watching and mainstream comedians. You cannot steal jokes mainstream.
Right.
Black comics steal jokes constantly.
Really?
And that is kind of why black comedy has not elevated with time.
I thought they didn't elevate because they're always talking about a pussy and dick.
But that's why. It's because there is a make me laugh, motherfucker.
Right.
So it doesn't give you space to explore creatively to do something
brilliant.
But you
don't think also, man, that there are a lot of black or people of color comedians out there that want to go outside of the box, but the world doesn't allow them to go outside that box?
Well, if you're doing...
You know what I'm saying? Because the audience or the
right, that's
managers,
exactly.
Like, give us some of those nigga jokes.
Well, it's not so much... I mean, the audience, the club owners, they don't care.
Right. The audience, they want...
When black people are together, we have a mob mentality.
Right. Where anybody gets together.
Right. Any ethnic group, monolithically ethnic group has that mob mentality. So
yes.
I've done pips where if you're a Russian dude and you don't do the traditional Russian jokes, they will boo you.
Yes.
If you're an Italian dude and you do South, you do Jersey, all of that, then you're an idiot. So the same thing happens with black rooms. If you're not doing the same shit that everybody's talking
about. I hit my baby mother in the mouth. Bang, bitch, what?
Right. So but you could take those same people that'll laugh. And what's amazing is that black audience will laugh at those same jokes. They will show up, watch the same niggas do the same jokes.
Yeah, that shit is tired, man.
It's hundreds of times.
Yeah.
And some of the time it's silly enough that you it is funny.
But it's the same shit.
It is the same shit. Yeah. But it also doesn't push black comics to be artistically more open.
Right.
And they don't have time. Like, I just, comic that you know, I'll tell you who it is after, I don't want to, no shots fired, but it was saying to me, yo, this dude who was trying to cross over to the mainstream, did some new shit, bombed, and then went right back to the same old shit over and over again.
Got comfortable again.
Because growth is painful. It's painful. It's even doing this. It's like when you say you started combat jacking, I'm not doing this. I'm firing my clients. I'm not doing this music thing. I'm going to start this new thing.
Yep.
And it would not have grown to the way it was if you weren't willing to go through the growing pains of making it still growing.
Yeah.
But it's the creative aspect. This was a new media. This is a whole different game that you had to learn. And you got to be
plus, I didn't have to see motherfuckers that was booing me.
Right.
I didn't have to see you. I didn't have to look at you. So
right.
I'll mute you. I'll fucking block you.
Get the fuck
out of here.
Right, right.
the block button is amazing.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, fuck you. You don't like me. Fuck you. You don't exist anymore. I'll disappear again.
But it's that kind of growth, and that's some. Even in the relationships, you get dudes. I get dudes who be like, yo, you know, I'm
18 years old. I don't know how to talk to girls. And first thing we say is, lay the five bricks, meaning I want you to go out. I want you to say hello and make conversation with five women a day. Mm. Five women a day, every day, for 8 weeks.
Get arrested for harassment.
And here's what happens is you lose the approach anxiety, right, and you end up falling into some pussy by accident.
Yep.
Because just the sheer numbers of the practice, the repetition of that
probability,
the probability gets you there.
Yep.
You end up laid just on probability.
Yep.
So it's what I realized, and I was talking to Luther about this today. I was saying there's so many things, subtleties of things that we do because we grew up the way we grew up and the way we handle women, and it was trial by blood, right, and fire.
Fire
was getting burnt, having to just curse you out. And
you had to get burnt. You had to get your PP burnt. Had to.
You had to put it in.
You had to spit that fire.
You had to bitch curse you out. You had to go ask a bitch to dance so she could turn you down.
You had to get the cops called on you.
Something.
What happened to the slow dances, man? I mean, I know I sound real old, man, but that was the test.
Well, you know, here's the thing that I'm having a problem with, right, the hip hop community. What is all this? Put it in a bag. What is this making it rain? Like,
well, that's old. Dude, you know what the new one is right
what's
now?
What's that?
Eat the booty like groceries.
That's the new shit. Well, I've been doing that for a long time.
I know, but I'm saying now that's all these kids. Everybody want to eat booty.
Right, but here.
Let's eat the booty.
It's all about paying a bitch, though.
Like the groceries.
When we came up.
Well, right now, it's just eating the booty. Like, right, I think we're from paying a bitch now. Let's eat the booty.
But they still paying the bitches. They still, something Busta Rhymes said in one of his songs. He goes, look, I don't remember when we weren't marrying stripper bitches. Yeah. We was fucking stripper bitches. Yeah. We was treating stripper bitches like stripper bitches.
Stripper bitches came up. They came a long way.
Sure.
Virginia Slims. Remember Virginia Slims?
Yes.
Strippers came a long way.
It's crazy how easy it is just to trick on a bitch. What's funny, and what's that lyric it says when the dude says, if you can afford it, it ain't tricking. No. Every trick can afford it.
Yeah.
That's why they're tricking. And even if they can't afford it, they'll sell their dinner money to trick if that's what they want to do. So you can't change. There's tricks, there's hoes, and there's pimps. You can't change the words or change the meaning because you want to change the meaning. Like, you can't change the game like that. So if you're tricking on a bitch,
can't change basketball or golf.
You can't. How are you gonna do that? The ball's different.
Yeah.
You know. So if you're tricking,
no sticks on basketball.
If you paying a bitch, let me just say, if you paying a bitch for her attention, you are tricking. You are tricking.
Trick.
It don't matter if you can afford it, you can't afford it. If you're paying, you're tricking.
Mm.
And so the bottom line is, they got it all fucked up, and they're just empowering these women who I'm going to pay a bitch, and then she's going to do whatever the fuck I wanted to do. And then when you run out of money, like, where's your value? You're
like, can we take a selfie at least?
Right. Like, yeah. She's like, oh, I'm done.
Selfie.
I'm done.
Selfie coin.
Your lap dance
out.
Is over.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy, but the game has changed where you don't have credible dudes. Hip-hop is not turning out.
But I think that's America in general, man. It's a sissification of the nation.
Sure.
How do you mean that? This whole PC being politically correct. And you can't be direct and you can't address. I mean, I understand certain things had to be changed.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? But
sure.
I remember being in front of a group of people 3 or 4 years ago and I said something about retards.
Right.
And the whole audience like, ooh. And
yeah.
I was like, okay, so I guess I can't say that word
anymore. Right,
right. I get it. You don't want to offend anybody, but you can't almost say anything these days.
Right, right. Nothing is.
No, everybody
nothing
gets
is,
upset, and it's yeah. kind of false outrage for the
yeah,
most part.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's, and nobody's really outraged by anything. Yeah. It's just. Oh, I'm appalled. Yeah. You don't even know how to spell appalled. Like, so how are you appalled? So it's become this thing, and our show was about teaching the fundamentals that we just knew that you just didn't get played like
yep,
that. You
yep.
just, you had to be that mother. If you wanted to be that motherfucker, I mean, whatever it is, and you talk about the drug dealers, when you talk about Lou Hobbs and Big D and these dudes and Octavia, I remember, what was it, Octavia was the little dude. Used to,
I don't remember Octavia.
You don't remember? He was younger than us.
Okay.
But he used to, Demencia and those dudes used to use him to stick up all the drug dealers.
Oh, because he had the baby face.
Yeah, he had the baby face, and he bought
and
them
the big guns.
And they would, when Ninja 500s, they would buy Ninja 500s, drive through Albany projects, buzzing and wetting up the projects. Mm-hmm. So they was little crazy niggas like 15, 16, Octavio and Little Phil. Mm. And then those dudes was like, these motherfuckers will rob anybody. Mm. So they kind of got, they were afraid of these motherfuckers. So they ended up, they were 15 when we were 25, I would say. It's maybe 91, 92, right. And they would just stick, they were the stick up kids. And these dudes was like killers. And what you call, well, Phil bought all his crew, those ninjas, and they used to do hits on the ninjas, riding through. I don't know if you got to know that. Remember?
No, I was out the hood at
that point.
I was a college girl. I was out the hood. I don't know about no ninjas, though.
Reading books and shit.
No, motorcycle buys.
Oh, yeah, they were doing, they were
drive-bys, doing fuck, no.
On the bikes.
No, man.
It's crazy shit.
I was out of there by then.
But it was.
I'm
it
back was, in the hood now, but back then, I was out.
Yeah, I kind of always.
I grew up around Albany. Fuck no.
I always had a foot in and out. I was always dipping in and out.
2 feet out, like see ya. Hey, moms, come by on Sunday night. I'm out.
Cammy, you had your college sweater.
Fuck yeah, hoodie. Don't die. I don't know y'all niggas.
Not gonna take me down.
Yeah, I'm out.
But it's just insane how there was no. You know, you had to be that dude. If you was the college dude, you was the college dude. If you was the hustler, you was trying to be the hustler.
Yes.
It's so much fraud now. It's like, let me just say I did.
I see it, yeah. I see it.
You know, and so in the context of even women, if you, women can smell the fraud on you. They got a real intuitive sense of this.
There's something right with
this nigga. He's not. And you don't have to be. Just be a nigga with integrity.
Yeah.
When I say what I say, I do what I say. That's it.
That's it.
And that means everything. That means even if I'm arguing with the chick and I say, listen, I'm not going to have you talk to me like that. That means the next time she talks to you crazy, there has to be a consequence. Right.
Consequence. Yeah.
Even if that consequence is that I never talk to you again.
Right.
You know, I'm not talking about choking a bitch, whatever, with even slow pressure. Mm. Just saying.
How about quick, fast pressure? like a quick choke.
That gets the coughing.
Can you hear me now?
So, but it's teaching kids to be that dude, just to say what you do and do what you say.
I can't breathe.
Yeah. Did you grow up with a pops or no?
No, I didn't grow up with my pops. Yeah.
And so you had to pick it up on your own.
I had to pick up on my own. And back then, it was crazy because I was a latchkey kid.
Uh-huh.
So my mom's was never around.
Right.
So it was just.
Right, because she was working.
She was working. So I was around like niggas that had no eye. Like one nigga I knew, Toby, lost his eye. just, you know, fortunately enough, man, I don't know how I survived that ever, man. And how, you know, I guess it was. The values that my mom's instilled in me, how I didn't get fucked up in the game, man.
Right,
because I was around some, like...
You ever get locked up or no?
For some dumb shit.
Yeah.
Like, arguing with a cop. But this was after I was a lawyer.
Right.
I was like, God damn it, I'm a lawyer. He's like, fuck you, you're a nigga.
Right.
Oh, man, he didn't believe I was a lawyer. But
wow.
Now, back
you didn't
then,
see
I,
that precedent
but then, coming. But back then, though, you really didn't get locked up like that. Like, that's the thing I understand about...
You can have a fight. You can punch a motherfucker in the mouth and not get locked up.
Kingston Avenue. High off a blunt, burning a blunt, broad daylight, like right now, 3 in the afternoon, walking by a police officer, and the police like, why don't you just put that out? Mm. Like, can you imagine some shit happening like that right now? I love the police back then.
Yeah.
I love them.
It's a different thing now. It's a revenue collection.
Broken windows.
Yeah, you get.
I hate broken windows.
You can talk to a motherfucker right now. He talk all slick to you, and you smack him in the mouth, and you're cuffed.
Yeah.
And you're going to the clink.
Now, one of my boys, my white boys, grew up in Staten Island, and their pastime on Fridays was they didn't like the kids from the other side of town because they went to another high school,
right?
And they became cops. So every Friday night, they'd get into fights with the off duty. I was like, you fought cops like for fun, for fun, dude. Fuck your badge,
yo. We got
buddy.
We got some people we need to help, man. Let me get that in. We got a little listener mail. You want to stick around and help me out with this?
I'll help you out, man. Let me put on this tomato right here.
All right, eat that
real tomato, no pause.
All right, so hey, Dante, first off, I want to say thank you for giving us Men the great podcast. There isn't anything you teach that I don't disagree with. I listen to the show religiously, and it keeps me sane. Now I have a dilemma in my current relationship. I need some specific direction on how to manage it. I was going to hit up the other emails for the listen mail, but this is guidance ASAP.
Get to the question.
He goes,
get to the question, mother. Not you.
In terms of texting, how often should you text a chick after you meet her?
What?
Yeah.
Whenever the fuck you want to.
And that's the point. Now here's
that's a real question.
That's a real question.
His name is Dante.
No, his name is.
Your name is Dante.
Yeah. My name is Dante.
I know. What's his name?
It doesn't matter.
Yo, buddy, man, like what? Whatever the fuck you want to get some ice cream? Like, what's your girl's name? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but that's a problem because when I meet somebody, I like to text all the time. That's just how I am. It's not even necessarily out of a desperation thing. For me, it's like if I like you, I like you, and I want to chat. But the problem is when you do that too much, you're like, oh, he likes me. Then it gets interpreted as desperation.
Let me explain too. There's a lot of things that it's another friend of the show is Rosebud. Rosebud, for the double dose of pimping from American Pimp, good friend of mine. And there's so much stuff that he knows. He pimped for 46 years, literally. And there's so many things that's just commonplace for him. You know what I mean? So it's even asking that question, you go, what the fuck? But it's a real question. It's a question in the context of a dude.
I get it. I don't mean to be so insensitive.
No. But it's a good point because it's so intuitive for you what you're saying, and what you're saying is right. But there's a guideline to that I give, and then there's that once you really understand who you are, you break the rules after you follow the rules.
So let me hear your guideline.
Okay, so one of the things I say is never to text a chick. Like, if a chick is sending you paragraphs, you should one and two word answers. You don't give any more information, too much information, because too much information, long texts, are women perceive it as weakness. So if you're Brad Pitt and it's Brad, come over, here's the address. That's what he's going to say. He's not going to say, hey, I was just thinking about you. I'm wondering maybe you wanted to come by. And
then I thought about you by the ice cream shop.
And then maybe we could come by, blah, 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 blah. But even when you're talking about this, look, yo, let's get ice cream. Even it's direct. So direct is, a woman finds direct attractive because it means decisive. Decisive is strength. Strength is reflective of manhood. So you have to take those things into consideration, things that are just intuitively you would do. Other dudes don't get it. Didn't grow up with a father, didn't figure it out themselves, and now they're lost. And all of the images that they're looking at right now is Kevin James. Everybody's asking for head and asking for sex and asking for permission. And can I watch the game? And my wife's going to kill me if I do. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I got it. I got it.
The guideline is that I tell dudes to text one and two word options when they're communicating. And if those options are if the communication needs to be extensive, you say call me. You just
pick up the phone.
Type call me.
Right.
Yeah. And you even ask her to call you, because even that is dominance.
Come to me, bitch.
That's exactly.
And that's worked for me a couple times. Yeah, because the texting thing was a huge, that's one of the rules that helped me out a lot.
Yes.
Is because I just, but just not because like I'm desperate necessarily, that's just how I am.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I love to chat.
Harry's a nice dude. And so anytime you're too nice a dude, you got to also be able to go, bitch, you out your motherfucking mind. Like, you getting it twisted. And then she goes, oh, okay.
Oh, you're not that nice. I love you.
I love you. Right, you don't like me that much. You can't love a bitch more than she loves herself. And they don't like themselves. They don't like their arms. They don't like the fat under their arms. They don't like their stomach.
They don't like each other.
They don't like the back of their legs. Bitch, you don't like all of you. Why are you going to make me like you? I don't like you that much. I love all of me. I'd like.
I love all this belly right
all
here.
All it's. You know what?
All this belly.
I love it all, so that I might want to give some to somebody else.
That's how much I love it.
That's how much I love it. Well, I'm dope. I'm doing dope shit. This is the party train. You need to get on the party train, bitch. Because it's getting ready to pull out of the station.
Or get potty trained.
Something.
Yeah.
I got Reg talking that pimp shit now. We got one more? We got time for one more?
Quick one.
All right, quick one. Yeah. All right. Hello, this is KS from Beige Philip Peeps. Been listening to the show for a while. First heard Dante or Keith and the girl. Anyways, I try to make it short. You already made it long, nigga. I've been with my girl for about 4 years. We started out as a fling. Then we got pregnant. First of all, we didn't get pregnant. She got pregnant, all right? And had to become strangers to lovers. And what I felt from a one day to the next, it was hard the first couple of years. I was an ass and not loyal at all. Even though she knew this, she stuck around after getting caught. I calmed my shit down. We've gotten stronger as a couple, but I still look for bitches to mess around with elsewhere.
You're normal.
My girl.
You're good, buddy.
Good. End of that message.
Next question.
My girl is a lady in the streets, but a freak in the sheets. So why is it I still look for other women?
Because you got balls, nigga. Yeah.
When I have what I need at home.
Grip them your balls.
Because first time messaging, so I hope I did this right. Thanks for any help.
He's A-okay, right?
He's A-okay. Yeah. Here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with having the desires. And if you choose to be faithful and you feel as though she's worth it, that's fine. It's not what you want to do. There's a lot of niggas I want to murder. I'm not a murderer.
God said you can look at the menu. You don't have to order, but you can look at the menu.
That's in Paul 6:14.
Paul's my nigga too.
There's nothing wrong with you, man. You. It's nothing wrong with looking. If you're looking, you're alive. And here's what you better do. You better be flirting and keeping your game tight. Because the minute you don't keep your game tight, she's going to recognize that you lost your game. And she's not going to find you attractive. Here's what dudes do a lot. A woman will fall in love with you for everything that you are. She will spend the rest of the relationship trying to change you into something that you're not. Once she succeeds, she will dump you and go with the guy who is what you were before she met
you. A younger version of you.
Exactly. Yeah. Or what you have. So don't change who you are, brother. Be who you are. Now, if you're talking about that you dig this chick, you love her, you want to be with her, that's what you should do. You want to be faithful, that's fine, but you can't stop your desire.
Keep it pimping.
That's it. So I mean,
yeah, you're normal, bro.
You're just normal. Don't get it twisted. You can look.
Every dude wants to fuck.
Don't be a retard.
Multiple chicks.
Don't start tripping. Reg,
yo, what up?
Thank you for coming, brother. I really appreciate it, bro. I'm glad we connected.
Too, man. We gotta do this more often.
Let's
live up the block, man.
Yeah, listen. We gotta.
How soon is it before I can start texting you again? I would text you tomorrow.
Anytime you want to.
Can I come back in?
Whenever the fuck you want, Reg.
Whenever the fuck you want to.
I was by the old Sills, and I was walking by the grocery store, and I thought about the show we did last week.
Sills.
And I wanted to know
why. Wow. You don't know. That's where we used to buy all our sporting goods. Exactly. Sells on Notion Avenue.
Nice. R.I.P.
Yeah, he didn't really like us a lot.
What, 77 blackout?
Sills wasn't really. Yeah, no, okay. He was over there getting.
Nah, I was a nerd back then. Anyway.
Harry, there was a blackout.
I remember the 77 blackout. People
looted Sales Sporting Goods store. That was the only spot. This was before Modell. I don't even think Modell's was around then.
I think Modell's came shortly after that.
Right? Because that's where you had, if you needed a baseball glove, a basketball.
Mom and Pops.
You had to go to
Salute to the Mom and Pops.
So they blacked out. It was a blackout.
They blacked out. They got
blacked them out.
Actually, I spoke to Fab Freddy, and he said that the blackout was single-handedly the reason why
for the hip-hop
exploded, because the following night, everybody had equipment, and you had all these DJ crew
everybody was doing
around
it.
The city.
Wow. There's a great documentary on VH1 about that.
Wow. That's interesting. Yeah. That is so, and it's so fucking
everybody
intuitive.
Had a microphone.
Yeah.
Everybody was DJ Ski this and DJ Ski.
Did you have a DJ name?
Nah, I rapped.
You rap? What was your rap
Reggie
name?
Reggie O. I'm the R to the E, the double G-I-E. But when I rock the mic, I rock so viciously. You take the fest.
I was DJ Savage.
DJ Savage.
Yeah, I spelled my name with an SAV because I rocked the house so viciously. And then there comes the AGE.
To what?
And to the name, that's my key.
Nice. Nice.
What's the name of your crew?
It was Disco Knights.
We were the kings of the turntable. KTT.
A lot of royalty.
A lot of royalty. Yeah, we was all royalty.
And much like Game of Thrones, a lot of deaths.
A lot of deaths and royalty.
A lot of bloodshed.
A lot of travesties on the majesty. When you rock with me, you're going to see royalty.
Reg, yo, what you got going on? Talk to me. Talk to my fans. Tell me what you got going on.
You know, the Combat Jack
show. Combat Jack, hottest hip-hop podcast in the game right now.
Yeah, we also have the incredible network, the Loudspeakers Network. Catch the Brilliant Idiots with Charlemagne, the Reed with Kid Fury and Crystals.
Right.
We got so many. We just signed up DJ Vlad.
It's your network.
That's my network.
It's your network.
Yes, so we have a growing network.
Wow.
You can check me out on Twitter at @combat_Jack. I'm coming out to Houston next month. I'm going to be in California at the end of June for the BET Extravaganza.
Nice.
I'm interviewing George Clinton and Janelle Monae on stage. Damn, I sound like this is Funkmaster Flex. Well, I'm amped up right now, nigga. You got me amped up. Nah, but I just want to say, man, I love all you internets. Thanks for the support, and please continue supporting Beige Phillips.
Check out that Combat Jack. Shout out to Mara, sexy though.
Where is
it? Mara Marik Live.
MaraMarikLive.com.
Yeah, check her out on Twitter.
Mara Sexy.
Oh, yeah, we do it. BeigePhillips.com. You can check out, follow all the links. Shout out to Mara, had to break out a little bit early.
Yeah.
Harry, what's going on?
You can always go to my website, IHateComedy.com. That's where all my stuff is, and follow me at Harry Terjanian and everything else.
You know, I got all my stuff on everything at Dante Nero, BeigePhillips.com. Follow the links. They're getting ready to start the Power season 2. So they're doing the marathon of season 1. I'm in episode 5, 6, and 7.
Would you get shot or what?
No, I'm still alive, but they wrote me out for the second season, what? So fuck them. Whatever. Well, but
you got a bigger gig, though.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Got a bigger
yeah,
gig.
I did Blacklist for like nice. 8 episodes.
Nice.
They're playing those again, the reruns of Blacklist.
Those checks are nice, huh?
Yeah.
Sag, right?
Nice.
Sag.
Also got this movie coming out, No Beast So Fierce. Coming out in a minute. That's hot. And got a movie coming out the end of the year where I'm boxing. So I'll be at Gleason's Gyms. Y'all want to come down and see me?
Who you training with? Over?
Blimp.
Blimp is my old. Yo, tell Blimp.
Yeah.
Reggie said, "What's up?"
I will.
The reason. Can I tell you a quick story?
Yeah. Sure.
So I was training with Blimp.
Yeah.
And I love Blimp.
Blimp's a sweetheart.
Blimp went to train somebody professionally. He handed me off to Harry.
I know Harry. Well.
So Harry was Harry's scary.
Yeah.
Because Harry did that time and he might blink one time and hit you in the kidney. He's like, ow. Harry was just hard. Blimp is my nigga.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm training with Harry for like about a month. Blimp comes back. I'm like, yo, I'm going to go train with Blimp. Like, no, you not. You mine. So then these two cats now are squaring off in the gym like, no, he's mine.
Serious.
He's mine. I was like, yo, this shit is so
like real talk
penitentiary now. I was like, I'm not built for it.
Whoa, I'm going back to school.
I'm going back to being
I'm going
soft.
To get another degree.
This boxing shit ain't for me.
Yeah, I'll be back in there trying to get in shape for this joint.
I'll get you in shape.
Yo, GYBB, get your balls back. B-A-B-B, be a better bitch. The Square Pimp Gate is in the building. The Sexual Revolution is be a podcaster. Yo, I love y'all. We out. Don't forget to rate and review us
on iTunes.
And check out. Make sure you check out Combat Jack to fire
internet.
Yeah, easy. Let's out.
If you start out with stallions, you'll end up with a gorilla.